Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart, and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know. You cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything. He'll make it all right. He will make it all right.
Welcome, welcome. You are back with Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and we are here another week. We have made it through other challenges, other difficulties, and we are stronger, we are wiser, we are better. Even if we think that we're still not where we want to be, you're not where you were. And so that's something to give thanks for and to refocus our mind for the task at hand. It is a new month. We are already in March, the third month of the year. And so the first trimester is almost coming to a close, and I wanted to present shows to you this month of women who are doing great things, who are reaching for those goals, reaching after those dreams. So even if you think it's the third month of the year and I haven't gotten started yet, that's okay, because God has his plan and his timing for you, and you may just need a little motivation. And so that's what we're going to cover tonight with NBC's The Voice, season 3 finalist. That's right, we have her right here tonight. We have with us Michelle Brooks Thompson. She is going to be releasing a wonderful album very soon. You're going to hear some of those cuts tonight. She also won Single of the Year 2014 Angelic Award winner. She's a co-host of a radio show called Real Talk Inspire Radio, and I don't know how she has all the time under the sun to do everything, but Michelle, thank you for taking the time for being with us. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Not a problem, not a problem. And I didn't even mention that you've actually, you know, worked with some of the great names in gospel music, such as Pastor Donnie McClurkin and James Fortune and many others. In fact, we will we take a moment right now to even say a prayer for Pastor Donnie McClurkin and all that he's going through with the loss of his sister. And we know that he has experienced a number of losses in his family, and it's difficult. On top of all his own physical ailments. So let's remember to keep him and his family in prayer during this time. Michelle, season 3 finalist of The Voice, the one show that if I decided that I was going to do this, that's the one that I choose. So I'm so thankful that our paths crossed. And I want to get a sense of who you are. Tell me about your love of music. Where did it start? You know, where did you actually find your voice?
Sure. You know, I would love to share that. Well, one thing for me, I grew up in a background of music through my mother, my aunts, my grandfather, my grandmother's side. Because my mother's parents were pastors, and so all 5 of her siblings, they played or sung in the church, and so that instrument that God had given them was so amazing that it just sort of transcended down the line. And when I was a small child, my mother saw the gift that was in me, and she helped bring it out. And when I was 10, I started singing in a group with my mom and my aunts. One of my aunts going to different churches and singing in choirs with them, because my voice was so developed at 10 years old. And I just began really loving music. But as I grew older and understood more about my spirituality and understanding God, I began to see through my spiritual eyes what God had actually given me, and that it was a gift used for ministry. And so that really, you know, helped transcend where I was going with that. So,
well, you know, I'm listening to your story, and it reminds me of Kiki shared, of the shared, the Clark family and the Clark sisters. And I remember an album that her mom put her on the last track, and she said, "Here's my daughter, Kiki," and she must have been no more than, sounded like 10 years old, on the piano and singing fabulously. And you could understand that this was a legacy that she had inherited, but yet she had a voice of her own, and mom was wise enough to share that with the world and to develop that. So it sounds like you come from a similar legacy to that. Now, when did you decide that this was it? This was what you wanted to do with your life? This, the, what you make your person?
It's sort of tricky because, like I said, I grew up in a family of music. And, you know, as a small child, my mother, my mom died when I was 13. But prior to her death, she made me take piano lessons. She, you know, had me surrounded by music. And at one point, I was like, you know, I don't want to take piano lessons. And, you know, I just want to be a kid and go play outside. And my mother said, "You're going to thank me when you're older." And so, you know, I sung in the choir. I took over my mother's place as minister of music after she died. And I started having a strong passion for it. And I couldn't escape it. It was like going through high school, being in the community. Everybody knew me as Michelle, the one who sings. That was my title.
Wow.
And I just couldn't escape it. And even when I didn't really embrace it as much as I grew to embrace it, it was always like evident wherever I went that I had something on me that God had given me that was powerful through my voice. And I actually went to college. Most people don't know this, but when I went to college, I was pre-med. And at the end of my junior year of college, I decided to study music because I wanted to go to med school.
Wow. That's a huge point for my listeners right there. So pre-med, you had the brains, you had the ability, you were on track, and in your junior year, you shifted gears to follow your passion. That's a very scary thing. I pause for a moment there and talk to us about what it took for you to make that decision to go from something that seemed like the best course. You know, anyone would say, "Yes, girl, go ahead, be a doctor." You know, the status of it, the money that it brings, the security that it brings, as opposed to going in the direction that you chose. Talk to us about that.
Well, one of the things, you know, when my mother passed away, my grandparents raised me, and they were ministers, and they had a church, and so it was very sheltered life growing up with them. And because my mother and my aunts and my uncles had ventured out into the secular realm, and they got involved in all sorts of things while they took their gift away from the church, my grandmother was trying to keep me structured, and she didn't want me to, you know, venture out into that secular industry. And so her focus was, when you go to school and you finish, you can do whatever else you want to do. And I just felt like I wanted to go into medicine because I actually wanted to research rheumatoid arthritis, because my mother passed away with that, and I felt like I was doing something to help me cope with her loss, but also, you know, understand it. And at the same time, everything around me, though, with music ministry, everything. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I can't escape what God has put inside of me. And I just got to a place where I was like, you know, my passion really is music. Like, I love the way I feel when I sing about God and when I'm in church, and I just couldn't escape it. And I didn't have the passion for medicine. That meant, you know, another 4 years of school, probably more than that. And I didn't have that passion for that.
Right.
So when
right.
I told my grandmother, you know, she looked at me like I had three heads because I said, well, I want to switch to music. And she said, and what do you think you're going to do with that? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, I could be a, you know, musical therapist. I could, you know, because if we're concerned about career, if I'm going to be able to make a career out of it, make
right.
money and take care of myself, you know, I could be a music professor. But my mindset was on performing
right.
and going out and singing for people. I didn't want to be boxed in a classroom teaching music or, you know, vocal performance. And so it was a interesting conversation, to say the least, between my grandmother and I, because she felt she knew best. But, you know, thankfully she agreed, and I was actually able to graduate one time, and I had to test out of certain music theory classes to get to that level where I could graduate one time. And thank God, like, he gave me the ability that he did, because I'd never took any type of music theory classes or anything. And I had a professor that helped me study and prepare, and I passed through with flying colors. And, you know, that's the transition that I made.
Well, you know, that's another key piece to this, because sometimes we have that dream and we want to step out, and we're afraid because we think, you know, we're behind the eight ball, or maybe we won't measure up in some way. But all the life
right.
experience that you had up until that moment actually prepared mm-hmm. you enough. And then God gave you open doors by providing
yeah.
someone who could help you and assist you. So you will know if it's a path for you to step out on. First, you have to take the step. And then you will see
right.
that God comes in and he provides for you. You know, you talk about losing
always.
Your mother, which I'm sure was devastating at your age and how close it sounds like the two of you were. And you have a track called, you know, Won't Complain. And there's a lyric in there that talks about, you know, the hills that you've had to climb in your life. And I'm sure that was one. Can you talk to us about some others that you have been through in your life that have made you think to yourself, you know what, maybe I should just give up. Maybe I should just not pursue. Maybe I was wrong.
Well, oh, man, it would be where do I start, but to say the least, but also say the most with this question. When I lost my mother, I went through a period of difficulty adjusting to that, because that was like the person that I was close to and, you know, the person that raised me, because my parents, you know, divorced when I was very young, and my mother was just doing the single mother role, and I had no siblings. So when she died, I felt so alone. And without that father figure there, and even having my grandparents, it still was that sort of feeling like, well, they're old and they're retired and they don't really understand how I'm feeling at 13 and 14 years old. And, you know, my grandmother was good and saved from, you know, a very young age. So, you know, she didn't play any games. You know, it was holiness, and that's what it was. And so it was challenging to adjust to being in that environment. And so I felt alone, and I felt that I needed something, and I started looking for a love that only God could give me, but I was looking for it in any way possible. And I got to a place where I found myself thinking that the only love that I could feel was from a man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to be loved. I, you know, whatever the case, I just wanted to be loved. And I went through a period of not realizing that the most important love was God's love.
Of course.
And when I came to that realization, I looked back at all the times that I found myself searching and being hurt and abused and allowing myself to go through that pain. I never had to. But at the same time, it created the spiritual woman that I had become through that. And even, you know, missing my father and my father not being there and deciding that he did not want anything to do with me. That hurt as well.
Wow.
And, you know, it took something for me to actually reach out to my father after all these years, very recently. Mm. And sometimes I feel like, you know, the enemy can use things to try to break you and put salt on old wounds. And when I think about where I've grown spiritually, mm-hmm. in the situations that I have conquered, that's why I can say I won't complain. And the reason for that is because God has seen me through so much of my life. When I was younger, you know, I was abused. And so that stuck with me. And I talked to my first lady. I love her. She's amazing. And I shared some of the things that I had experienced, like sexual abuse when I was younger, and things that some members of my family don't even know about.
Right.
But yet that, losing my mother, experiencing this ownership of, like, my father disowning me, mm-hmm. and being in that place of searching for love that wasn't God's love, all of that, I still have a relationship with God. I grew, and I didn't let those things deter me away from actually serving God and wanting to have a relationship with Him. Because a lot of times people go through situations and it makes them or breaks them. And mm-hmm. when I look at the things I encountered, I could have been broken.
Right.
And I could have ended up an entirely different person than who
right.
I am today.
Well, we've
but
heard
thank
you say
God.
It. We heard you say it. Let's hear you sing it. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what God is doing and has been doing in your life.
Okay. You know, when I look back over my life, and I think of all the things that God has done for me and all the ways that He's provided for me, can't help but to trust Him. So I sing this song to encourage you that no matter what you're going through, no matter how big the problem is, just know that God, He will see you through. You know I had some hills to climb and some mountains too, but the Lord was always by my side no matter what I was going through. Say, I won't complain. It's fine. I won't complain. 'Cause I know that
doesn't know that the Lord is always got my back. And when you feel like a lost away and trouble keeps coming your way, just know that trouble is the last always so you can see. It's more than ever we say that I'm going through, cause I know
jazzy voice of Michelle Thompson. Very well. Yes. And, you know, our stories overlap in many, many ways. I am an only child myself, and a lot of similarities just in terms of as you were sharing your story. But the last point that you made is the key point, and that is the love that gained really has to be found first and foremost in the Lord. It can sound like a cliche. It's not. He actually has right. the key to every heart. And I always let people know that Romans 10:9, you know, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. You will come into a personal living relationship with him, a love relationship that will guide and change your whole life. It doesn't mean your life will be perfect without problems, without mountains.
Right.
But you have the ability to say to this mountain, be removed, and you have his power in you. I'm wondering, as you know, when someone decides to go on a show like The Voice, I don't think it's something that you just do because, you know, there's some thought behind it, some motivations behind it. What were you in your career prior to the show? What were your successes or, you know, challenges? Where were you before you decided to audition for The Voice?
Well, you know, I'm so glad you asked that because when I talk about The Voice, people don't realize how much of a spiritual journey that was for me. And when I say that, I mean that I had got to a place because I knew that I wanted to be, you know, I want to do this. This is what I was created to do. And I want to do it on a major level. And I had auditioned for other shows, and I never made it through. So in the summer of 2011, I had made up in my mind that, you know what, God, I know what you've spoken over my life. So I don't have to go searching for it or you know, knocking down every single door because what you said, you're going to do that. And mm-hmm. I don't have to rush you because it's in your timing. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on building my relationship with you and okay. getting to a place where I am all about God's will. Because a lot of times we try to blend our will with God's will, and things aren't going to work out right when we do that. And so I felt in my spirit that I needed to submit to him, and then everything else would come the way that it was supposed to. And so, you know, I wasn't looking to audition for absolutely anything because I didn't feel it was for me to do. So my focus was completely on God.
And so how did the pathways lead you to The Voice?
Well, my good, amazing pastor, that summer in 2011, my pastor was preaching, and he turned to me, and he said, in the middle of his sermon, he said, I hear God saying that this time next year you're going to be in L.A. He said, I don't know what it's for, but you're going to be in L.A., and it's for something bigger than anything you ever imagined. And I said, wow, okay. So I thought no more about it. I actually forgot all about it. And what ended up happening was I kept hearing about The Voice, but I didn't want to audition. That just wasn't for me because I felt like if I did that, I was proactively going outside of God's will, and I just really wanted God to direct my path.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting down one Sunday night, and my aunt called me, and she said, are you watching The Voice? And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm watching it. And she was like, I think you should audition. And I said, oh, no. I was like, nope. I said, I think you could because, you know, they take anyone. And I said, you sing, you can audition. And she was like, no, you know, you really should audition. They don't look at you. It's all about your voice. You know, and I said, no, I'm all set. I'm good. And that was the extent of our conversation.
Okay.
And the next day, I woke up to an email from a talent scout. that I had met and, you know, had many acquaintances with. And she sent the email saying, please give me a call. There's a major talent network competition that is looking for private recommendation that I want to recommend you.
Wow.
And so, you know, I called her and I was like, you know, what's the show? And she says, The Voice.
Confirmation.
Well, you know what? I said, I'm not interested.
Oh, my.
And she said, well, she knows I'm a Christian, so is she. And, you know, she encouraged me. She said, well, pray on it, and whatever direction God leads you, I'll understand. She was like, you know, but, you know, at least pray on it before, you know, make that decision. So I texted my pastor and first lady, and I told them, I said, well, I was just presented with an offer to do a private audition for The Voice, and I don't think I want to do it. I feel some type of way, and I really just don't want to do anything that's going to take me outside of God's will or take my focus off of Him. And my pastor was like, well, you don't know what doors God will open from this for you. And he said, you know who you are as a God-fearing woman. You know how to present yourself, what songs you probably wouldn't want to sing. He said, but I think you should do it. And my first lady was in agreement. And I didn't think any more about it. That was Monday. That Friday, I was teaching music at the time at a school, and I was there on my off day to watch a couple of students do a performance at an assembly. And as I was sitting there waiting for the assembly to start, a faculty member came and sat down, and she leaned over to me, and she said, you should audition for The Voice. And I looked at her, and I said, excuse me? She said, you need to audition for The Voice. And I just looked at her, and I started laughing. And I said, well, it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, it's come up a few times this week, but, you know, I'm not really thinking about that.
So we can forget it sometimes, can't we? We can just really miss it.
Oh, my God. Talk about going and walking into the wall and walking into the wall. And I
so what was that final moment that the light bulb went on for you?
It hadn't gone on yet. And two weeks went by, and I got a call one Saturday, and it was a talent scout. And she was like, you know, I didn't hear from you. The preliminary audition where I would need to go in front of someone specifically was that next day. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to do it. So, you know, thanks for the, you know, opportunity. And my husband's in the background. He's like, just say yes. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. Like, this is not what God wants me to do. And my husband's like, just go. And I'm like, fine. I'm going, and I'm going to sing gospel. That's what I'm going to do. They're going to know who I am and what I represent, and that's it. So I showed up the next day, hadn't practiced. I just pulled two songs that were meaningful to me, and I got in there. I sung. Before I could get back on the highway, they called me, and they had chosen me out of the other people that had been recommended. And so now I'm like, oh, gosh, this is exciting. Like, this is further than I got on Sunday's Best twice. This is further than American Idol that I got. Great. And it was given to me. I didn't And so what was to happen next was I was going to New York, and I was going to have a private audition at a studio there, and it was going to be one-on-one with the casting director for the show and the vocal coach for the show. And what stuck out to me most that specific day was I was very concerned with my image because a lot of times you look at American Idol and they don't pick people. They make fun of them because of their weight or how they look. And so I was feeling some nervousness in that. And so I kept pacing the whole time waiting for my audition to start. And I was just like, God, can you make me lose like 50 pounds like right now before I go in there? Because I felt so uncomfortable, and I felt they weren't going to pick me beyond when they see me walk in the door, and
right.
it was going to be over.
Mm-hmm.
How amazing is God? As soon as I walked in, I didn't know that the casting director was going to be my judge, but she was, and the lead vocal coach. And I walked in, and they said, before you sing, we just want to tell you that we love the way you look. We love everything about you.
Wow.
And I was like, thank you, Lord. Because after that, I was like, okay, now I'm just going to sing my brains out.
Yeah, you were free to do what you needed to do. My goodness. I'd love to hear every little step of the moment, but our time is ticking down so much.
Yeah.
I wanted to get into what are, you know, I'm sure there's singers listening and people who are thinking about maybe taking this road. What are some of the things that they don't see that they really should prepare for? What are those weeks like or those days like of preparation for a song? Because, you know, we just see you and no one misses a note and everything seems so perfect. What is that preparation period like?
On The Voice or just in general?
In general, because I think there's some consistency, but you spent the most amount of time on The Voice. So just some ideas of what, as a vocalist, we could kind of prepare our minds, voices, and spirits for.
I would say, like, just, you know, practicing is something that any vocalist should be doing and spending time, because I know that when I don't sing for a while, for whatever reason, maybe I'm on vocal rest, it takes me a while to warm back up when I do sing. Well, not a long while, but, you know, my voice hasn't been used in, you know, that capacity. So I, you know, the notes just don't come out like that, you know. But I think if anything, whatever their gift is or their instrument, they should always utilize it and practice it and, you know, rehearse it so that they are prepared for whatever thing that they're doing. You know, on the show, they gave us rehearsal tapes. They allowed us to rehearse with a band and really be prepared and have special time with a vocal coach and, you know, do those things that would prepare us for a good performance.
And what about your faith? Because through this whole journey, you were really determined that what you were going to do was have God continue to be your focus. So did you have moments and opportunities where you were able to let your light shine, so to speak?
Absolutely, because I ended up getting an email from the person that I originally had auditioned for to get to the private audition. And one of the things that she said to me was she could tell that when I sung, I was singing from the God that was within me and that God had truly given me something special and that he had great things for me. And I wasn't expecting to hear that from a lawyer. Like, I just wasn't.
Wow.
And I kept that email. And throughout my journey on The Voice, she randomly emailed me. And the emails would be so faith-centered. And it just caught me off guard because, like I said, I wanted people to see God in me. That was the most important thing. And even when I was eliminated off the show, it was like some of the emails that I got from people were incredible because they would say things like, you know, I could tell that, you know, you have the Holy Spirit within you and that you're a Christian and you love God. And not once did I have the opportunity to say publicly on television that this is who
right.
Michelle Brooks Thompson is.
Right.
And, you know, they say when you have God's Spirit within you, people can see it. People
yeah.
know it. You have a light that shines. And one of the things that the vocal coach said to me from the taping of my audition, he was like, while you were up there, he was like, it was like you were just glowing on stage. And I felt it was God's presence on me.
Yeah, definitely. And he's the one who brought you to the moment. And like the next track we're going to play, he will do it. He's the one who made this moment for you and opened the door.
Thank you.
will do it. That is an amazing truth, and he did it for you. And I like to share on this show that God is no respecter of persons. If he would answer your prayer, and if you would answer my prayer, he will answer, listening listeners, your prayer. You just have to have the faith, and you have to believe. You sound,
Amen.
Michelle, you're really moved and touched over there as you're even listening back yourself. It's amazing when your own music can minister to you, right?
Oh, my goodness. There are many days where that song, He Will Do It, ministers to me because, you know, as much faith as we may have, there are times where you feel like, God, you know, I've been waiting on some things and, you know, you haven't done it yet and time is going by, and but you can't doubt God. And so I feel like I listen to that song to be like, okay, Michelle, just hold on. God is going to do just what he said. And don't give up. Just keep waiting on him. And
Absolutely.
A lot of times, we it's cliche because we always say, won't he do it? He'll do it. Yes, he'll do it. And, you know, we shout on that at church. But then we go home, and during the week, something mm-hmm. happens, and our faith is out the door.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Falls flat. Falls absolutely flat. So talk to someone right now who's at that place. You know, they put the key to the door, and they remember all the problems that's waiting for them on the other side, and they think to themselves, you know, what am I doing? Why am I even reaching? Why am I even trying another day? You've been there. You've definitely faced this. What do they need to do in terms of staying faithful and staying focused?
I want to tell whoever that may be that's listening in right now or who will listen to the playback, do not give up. To be encouraged and know that God is right there throughout every situation. Romans 8:28 acknowledges that everything that happens in your life, when you love God, it's for a reason. And we may not understand it then, but as the song says, we'll understand it by and by. Yes, we will understand it. Sometimes it's hard to accept it, but we'll understand what God is doing in your life. So when you yield to him and say, God, yes, I'll serve you. Yes, God, I give my life to you. You have to know that you're going to go through obstacles and you're going to go through situations that may hurt you. But the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So you have to know that while things are working together for your good, the afflictions that you go through, the trials that you go through, God is going to deliver you, but you have to get a testimony out of that so that you can witness to the next person. Mm-hmm. And the greatest thing of all that you have to remember is that the battle has already been won. When you have God on your side, you are triumphant. You're never defeated. We're never defeated. It's just how God works the situation out in our life. Just because we don't come up on the winning side in that particular situation, maybe we have a sickness that we have to go through and deal with. But God told Paul that his grace was sufficient for him. So his grace is sufficient for us to go through the situation that we're going through, even if we have to live with scars or we have to live with ailments from the diseases. But God has not forgotten about us. And we have to remember that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, God has not forsaken us. He's not forgotten about his word. He's not forgotten about you specifically, that this race that we're in, we have to endure to the end. That's what God is looking for. So do not give up. It's not whoever gets there first. It's not, you know, how can I overcome this trial the fastest. No.
Right.
God wants us to endure till the end, whenever the end may be, whether it's when God calls you home or, you know, if the rapture comes tomorrow. It's until the end when your time has come to see God face to face. So do not give up.
all things work together for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And, you know, when you have a calling on your life, you know, I was going to say something like not everyone has a calling. Everyone has a calling. Everyone has a purpose on their life. But there's some of us that have this burning sensation inside that you know there is something, and he's revealed it to you. He said, this is what it is. And like your own story, you don't see the trail. You tried in your own effort. It didn't work out. And then when the time was right, he used all those years of experience and the fact that you put him first as the open door. And I love the movie The Lord of the Rings, and my favorite one of my favorite or most powerful moments is that when Frodo and Samwise finally get to Mordor and they roll down this hill, and it's a sea of the enemy between them and their goal and where they need to go. And you look at these two little, tiny little people and these soldiers and big guys, and they're not even human. They're like superhuman villains.
Right.
You know? And you think there's no way they can get there. There's no way they can get to their goal. And they could have stopped right there. They could have said that we're tired, we're thirsty, we're hungry, we've been doing this for who knows how long. It's not going to happen. But they did the little bit that they can't cut, and God did the rest and completely drew the eye of those enemies somewhere else completely and gave them a clear path to their destination. And it's the same way for us. If we would just do what we can do and step out on faith, we can trust the Lord. Yes, they were still hungry. They were still tired. They still were weak, but they kept their eyes focused on the goal. And that's what your story says. And I really thank you for sharing it, because it takes away this image, this gloss that we just see like, oh, wow, they're auditioning and they made it. And no, there's a process that we all have to go through to get to that moment in time that we feel defines us, or is the moment that we've been waiting for. Tell us what God opened up for you since The Voice, and what can we expect from you even in this coming year?
I mean, God has done many great things and many great doors, everything from ministering on TBN, Pastor Jamal Bryan's church on the Word Network, singing for Derek Jeter. I never would have imagined in my lifetime that I would do something that phenomenal, but God is shifting me into a new place, and I am getting ready to release my EP next month. We're actually going into the studio next week, finalizing some things. There's a new version of He Will Do It that's coming, so I'll let that out the bag, and some other great music. And I am just excited because the songs that are on there, I know they're going to inspire and uplift people. And I will be blasting and announcing when it'll be available. So anyone can, you know, find me on Facebook under my name and get updates and so forth about the EP, where they can purchase it, and where I'll be next. And actually, I'll be going on tour next month, a 2-month tour, part of the Takeover tour. And our first city is Charlotte. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. And if you happen to be on the Blog Talk Radio page, her website link is right there. You can access it. While you're there, just click follow at the top of the page so that you can see what's coming down the pike. And like I said, this month of March, we're going to be highlighting women who are just doing great and phenomenal things. But next week, we're going to be talking to a family that believes that prayer is actually the key to changing things, and that is Forever Jones. We're going to have them with us next week, so you don't want to miss that. Tune on in. Until then, I want you to continue to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when he gave his life for you at Calvary. Give him the praise. Give it to him now before you even see that moment in time come to pass. And I tell you, it'll be here quicker than you know it. Thanks again, Michelle, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Lord, I'm so thankful for your mercy and your grace. For all that you've done, for showing me your love. See, everything I have in my life is because of you. And so for the rest of my day, I'm gonna give you